Chapter 3. These deeds we have wrought. The Chalice of Fire rode the Empyrean tides like a behemoth of the deep pitted against a turbulent sea. Mercifully, the Carder of the Unscarred and the several thousand crew and servitors it took to get the forge ship underway had sailed away from the ruined storm, following a route known only to Tekel and the ship's navigator. After several months of warp transit, they neared a Mandeville point of a small star system called Boron 13 that had no recorded life and whose contact with the Empyrean had ceased over a century ago. It possessed four planets, orbiting around a star whose solar mass could support human habitation on one of the worlds without burning out or evaporating its natural water supplies. As the Chalice of Fire emerged into real space, trailing ethereal corpuscent in its wake, the frigidity that came with deep warp space travel began to recede, and the various ship systems hummed back into activation. The bridge became alive with industry as the captain hustled his crew and began to make preparations for approach, according to Tekel's instructions.
"So then," said Ra's Obeck, standing alongside his forge father and looking out from a large observation blister. "What awaits us down there?"
His gaze travelled through the darkness of space to the world slowly turning below them. The ship was still several hours out, and Obeck could discern nothing beyond the blue-grey hue of the planet and heavy banks of yellowish cloud that wreathed it.
"Honestly, brother," Tekel said, "I do not know. Beyond this point, I am as in the dark as you."
"Did Vulcan tell you nothing else?"
"He gave me its location and a name. The Rort. A weapons cache to contain the artifacts."
"Which must be huge if it is to house this ship."
Tekel nodded.
"I searched some of the ship's archives concerning the Great Crusade," Obeck went on. "They were surprisingly comprehensive. This system was mentioned, but all detail of what transpired was redacted, if it ever existed in the first instance."
"I know Vulcan came here alone. That of the entire Legion, only he actually stepped onto the earth of this world."
"And yet he did not name it. That surprises me. Remember Caldera?"
"Not personally, but I know of it."
"When you said Vulcan had another cache, a second vault," Obeck said, "I admit I expected it to be there."
"Perhaps that's why it isn't," suggested Tekel. "Perhaps Vulcan had other plans for Caldera."
"We will never know."
Obeck trailed off into silence, and they were faced with their inevitable grief once more. It had a habit of finding them when least expected, a knife of shadow that cut all the way to the bone. Neither Salamander's legionary spoke for a while after that. They remained in each other's company, standing in companionable silence and deep in thought.
"The artifacts must stay aboard the Chalice of Fire when we make landfall,"
Tekel said. Obeck nodded, the thought having already occurred to him.
"Krask and his men will stand guard. Zaul will want to remain behind, too."
"You have spoken with him recently?"
"No, but Krask has. Our brother Chaplin claims Vulcan is with us, in spirit, if nothing else."
"And your thoughts?"
Reflected in the armor glass, Obeck's face darkened.
"I know when he is lying."
"He suffers."
"As do we all, brother."
"Him more than most."
"You know, Forge Father, you are remarkably empathic for a tech marine."
Tekel smiled, though given the cybernetics on his face, it turned into more of a grimace.
"I am my father's son,"
Obeck replied with the equivalent of a facial shrug, as they lapsed back into silence. Through the viewing portal, the clouded world edged closer, and their answers with it. A pair of thunderhawks speared through the void, engine burn flaring coldly in the darkness. They flew in formation, staying close as they hit the upper atmosphere and took the brunt of re-entry. The gunships buckled but held their line, even as their prows glowed hot and red. Then they were through, leaving the chill of the void behind and the gargantuan presence of the Chalice of Fire now anchored in low orbit above, with its precious cargo still aboard. As they entered a bank of cloud, the pilots of both Thunderhawks eased back and let the turbines take up the slack. As they leveled off into a horizontal approach vector, a request from both ships crackled across the vox.
Destination coordinates, Forge Master.
What do you see, pilot?
We've entered a fog bank. I'll need to descend.
Do so.
A few seconds lapsed, and a brief roar of engine noise interrupted the dulcet reverberation of the ship's hull as the Thunderhawk dipped sharply to clear the fog bank.
Picking up residuals on the sensors,
the pilot said as he returned on the vox. T'Kell maintained the dialogue as the others sat silently in their launch cages. Two squads, Var and Xandu.
Clarify.
Low levels of radiation, but rising.
Any structures?
Only ruins.
T'Kell exchanged a glance with Obek. Was this what Vulcan had intended? Were they even in the right place?
Wait! Something on the horizon moving fast!
A blurt of static broke off the feed for a few seconds.
Contact!
Identify, pilot, said Obek, taking over as military commander of the mission.
16th Legion, brother captain.
He sounded strained. A second later, the passengers in the hold knew why, as the gunship banked sharply and an alert siren began to howl. A muted explosion peppered the hull with shrapnel. Then came the denser impacts of shells, most likely from a heavy bolter. The hold shuddered. A savage jerk felt like a hammer blow. Smoke began to issue through the internal vision slits.
Taking fire!
In the circumstances, the pilot's report was superfluous. Preceded by a high-pitched whine that went from distant to acute in an eye-blink, a second hit ripped open part of the fuselage. Xandu carried the brunt of it, the sudden fire and intensifying noise all but smothering his pained shout. Var had him, but other than some scorching of his armor, Xandu looked none the worse for wear. The pilot was oblivious, but knew they had been hit. He snarled, angry.
Engaging!
A blurt of muffled but staccato heavy bolter fire sounded through the hull. Most of the Salamander's legionaries made ready for combat, but there was nothing they could do whilst the Thunderhawk rocketed through the sky. They were in the hands of the pilots now. Another jerk buffeted the hull, harder than wind shear, which had become a nerve-shredding screech, but not as punishing as the first or second blow.
A glancing hit,
T'Kell realized as he got back on the vox.
What are they flying, pilot?
There was a short pause as another evasive maneuver sent them banking in the opposite direction. Judging by the ambient sound, T'Kell imagined the paired Thunderhawks weaving around each other's slipstreams as they sought to outwit their attackers.
Land speeders heavily armed,
the pilot replied at last.
One is down and on fire, two have disengaged. Should we pursue?
Immediately and jam their comms, T'Kell said. It's possible we were unlucky and this is a patrol. No one else must know we're here or why.
The pilot relayed an affirmative, and the gunships gave chase.
Sons of Horus!
Obek had to shout, and the speaking of that name caused every pair of coal-red eyes in the hold to fall upon him.
What are they doing here?
T'Kell shook his head, almost without realizing he had done it.
Hunt them down, pilot,
he said into the vox, and then to Obek,
let's find out.
A short-lived chase followed, but the land speeders were no match for the faster and more heavily armed Thunderhawks. As the engine roar diminished and the gunship gently circled around, T'Kell knew the threat was neutralized. Obek was already on the vox.
Conduct an aerial sweep. Make sure they're alone and then take us in for a closer look.
It took a few minutes to sweep and secure the area, during which no further speeders or reinforcements could be found, suggesting the ones that came across the Salamanders had done so by chance and were a single patrol. As one of the Thunderhawks flew skywards, monitoring with sensors and concealed by the cloud layer, the second briefly touched down to disgorge six legionaries in power armor. The ramp was already closing, and the gunship rising, as T'Kell led the small squad in the direction of a downed landspeeder. They kept low and dispersed, using the ruins to cover their approach. An electrical storm cracked the sky with jolts of violet lightning, and a heavy gale rolled off the dirt plain, kicking up squalls of dust and small pieces of debris. Xandu felt them rattle against his armor, but kept his eyes on the unmoving forms slung across the speeder as he approached it. Sons of Horus. The rank markings and color of their armor were clear. Xandu didn't believe in chance, or providence, or coincidence. He believed in what he saw and experienced, nothing more. This encounter warned him to be wary.
"Brother Sergeant," Tekel said, "are your injuries not severe?"
Xandu had felt it at the time, but shook his head. He gestured for the four legionaries of his squad to advance ahead. They did so as one, bolters held up to their shoulders, right retinal lenses aimed down the stocks. Xandu had a bolter too. Phobos pattern with a drake-toothed bayonet attached to the stock and an underslung volkite.
"Armor took the worst of it," said Xandu,
slapping the side of his helm as the integrity readout flashed red for a moment before turning back to green.
"Just needed to stretch my legs, Forgefather."
Tekel nodded, his attention only half on Xandu as he scrolled through his internal data feed. Xandu could hear it processing and saw the blank-eyed expression of the tech marine as he interfaced with it.
"Radiation levels are increasing," Tekel said after a few more seconds. "I'm having difficulty pinpointing a nexus for it. Readings suggest it's latent. Possibly atomics. The air is saturated with it. How are your armor seals, Brother Sergeant?"
"Functioning, Forgemaster."
Tekel didn't respond. They had arrived at their destination. As the squad reached the down speeder, they fanned out and each took up a sentry position, eyes on the wreck and on the immediate area beyond it. The other two transports had been annihilated and had ditched much farther out. Tekel was content to examine this one. Upon close inspection, though, it became obvious that both crew were dead. The pilot's chest had been blown out, probably by a shell detonation. His rib carapace had split down the middle, and any internal organs that remained inside were pulped. The gunner had been scythed in half, and his lower body had landed several meters from the crash site, whilst his clenched fists ensured his upper half remained locked to the multi-melter that sagged on its pintle mounting. Knowing how resilient his former brothers-in-arms could be, Xandu made sure neither legionary still clung to life.
"Both dead,"
he said, beckoning to Kel forwards, who had waited for the confirmation.
"What do you hope to find?"
he asked, as the Forgemaster used his mechadendrites to interface with the landspeeder's control console. The steering column had been wrecked, and the sensor display spat sparks through a broken screen of dark glass.
"It is what I hope not to find," Tekel replied,
and blanked out again as he roamed for data in what was left of the landspeeder's rudimentary cogitator. As the Forgemaster worked, Xandu could properly survey the landscape. He surmised a city had once stood where the speeder had come down, before being flattened into oblivion. Vines encroached upon this suburban shell. Moss and lichen shawled its broken ramparts, and colonies of insects had made nests of its stony hollows. Edges of the ruins suggested a district, structures delineated where roads might have been. Tufts of coarse grass intruded through cracks in the sundered highway, and more than once Xandu caught a glimpse of some timid prey creature skittering through the city. It was as if nature, not man, had risen up and overtaken this place. Grimly, he realized the loose rock underfoot was actually bone, half buried under dirt and wind-borne debris. Femurs, teeth, even the odd partial skull lay scattered across the plain, like some horrific mass grave. Xandu was a warrior. He knew war. These people had been destroyed, or destroyed themselves, and long ago. His attention was drawn to a line of graffiti, scrawled across one of the few walls still standing, but begrimed by age. In low Gothic, it read, "These deeds we have wrought." It looked like it had been carved into the rock with a knife or some other blade. Scraps of uniform clung to some of the bones, and he could swear that some of them didn't look imperial. Was this what Vulcan had been so afraid of? Mankind's capacity to destroy itself? What beautiful and terrible wonders had he fashioned?
"Primarch, have mercy," he whispered.
Tekel slammed his fist against the speeder's console, breaking into Zandu's thoughts.
Nothing,
he muttered. And yet you still seem troubled.
I am. I found nothing to data sift. The cogitator is dead. I cannot exload. So a warning could have been sent, but there is no way to be sure.
Zandu looked to the horizon. He could hear the distant passage of the gunship prowling above. The skies are clear except for us. If contact was made, we would have seen something by now. Tekel remained pensive, but he was considering something else. Zandu could guess what. You didn't expect anyone else to be here, did you?
No. This place was supposed to be barren, of no strategic or military significance.
Tekel recalled the gunship, instructing it to land a few hundred meters outside of the crash site. Once the squad was back aboard, Obek met them with news.
There's an outpost about 20 kilometers north of this position.
In use?
Unknown. It came up on the long-range augers, so it must be large. The rot?
Perhaps. Thus far nothing has been as I expected. We should keep the artifacts on board the Chalice of Fire for now. Possibly indefinitely, if this location has been compromised.
Agreed, said Obek,
relaying the order to the pilot and not bothering to ask where that left them if the rot were no longer viable. He scowled.
It feels as if we have an armed vortex grenade in our hands, ready to detonate.
That is not so far from the truth, brother captain,
Tekel said.
Our father created much with his hammer. Miracles of science and invention. I know, I have seen them. Peerless in their capacity to do great good, but also great ill. They are weapons, brother captain.
Weapons have capacity for neither good nor ill. Only their wielders have that.
Precisely, brother.